In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
What's up, folks? It's So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. This is your Tuesday episode. That, of course, was a band, MGMT, mixed with Earth, Wind & Fire, September. Now, I played a couple different September mashups in September due to it being September, but this is a special one because in the lyrics of September, it says on the 21st night of September, and that's where we're at. We're at September 21st. Like, we're screwed. Like, the holidays are right here. The holidays are, and you might be like, I love the holidays, but like, guys, the year, what, like, we were just complaining about 2020 a second ago, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're in 2021, but it literally, it's frightening. And I know this is something that you hear again and again, but I just want to add my voice to the chorus of, what the hell? We're already at the holidays again? I have to worry about Christmas gifts and holiday gifts and like, what? What? It just, it frightened me when I thought about it. And then I just was like, oh my God. Anyways, how's everybody doing? We started the week. We've got less than 4 days till the weekend. Let me tell you my exciting night. This is great. So I woke up super early to do an interview. Went back, you know, and I woke up at like 6 a.m. to like research the guest. And then I talked to this person at like 7:30, and I think you'll hear it later this week. And it went fine. And then afterwards, it was like 9 o'clock or something. And I went back to bed for a couple hours. And do you ever go back to bed and you're like, that was the wrong thing to do? Where it was like it, because I woke up then at 11, I was completely out of it. And then I was like in a grump. I was like, rah, 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 rah. Like you ever, you're just like, oh, this is, I feel horrible. I got 2 more hours of sleep, but I feel just cranky. And it stayed with me the entire day. And then get this shit. I go hiking and I'm trying to get back, you know, to a regular workout kind of schedule because of being sick. I put on Dancing with the Stars. It was the season premiere of Dancing with the Stars. And Kenya Moore from Real Housewives of Atlanta was on there. So had to support. And Cody Rigsby from Peloton. And, of course, Olivia Jade. If you guys don't know Olivia Jade, she was involved in the college cheating scandal. It turns out she can dance, actually. So I was like, good for her. Like, this is actually, you know, she can't. Obviously, college is not her thing. But this, maybe dancing is. But then I fall asleep during Dancing with the Stars. I slept for like a solid 3 hours starting at 8:30. What the hell is wrong? Like, when did I officially become the most boring man, person, however you want to, you know, in the world? I fell asleep during Dancing with, I fell asleep before 9 p.m. Now it's 12:22 in the morning. I'm trying to put this dang podcast out and I'm just like, will I be able to go back to sleep? This is what I'm worried. Guys, this is, how did my life become this? You guys are probably already asleep or had exciting nights, or you even just stayed up for the entirety of Dancing with the Stars without falling asleep once. I fell asleep. I mean, we're talking hard sleep. Hard sleep. Anyways, that's the exciting evening of mine, if you guys, I like to share my personal life with you. Today, you guys, we're going to probably get right to it too, because we have an hour conversation with two of my favorite people that do this. Watch What Crappens, Ben Mandelker, Ronnie Karam. It's the first time they've been on together. They've been on separately before, and they, we just had the best time talking. I mean, I always have the best time talking. I just, it's like you guys listening, you kind of just, I just sat there with like my fist under my chin, just with a smile on my face. And it was my first interview back. We did this past Thursday where I was like starting to feel better again. So I don't even know what this sounds like. I know I laughed a lot. So I think you guys will laugh a lot. And we cover Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this past week. One, we go into Real Housewives of New York and the reunion, but this was before we found out they weren't going to have a reunion. I got their opinions on that. We talk about the new season of Vanderpump Rules and what we're expecting. And we kind of just geeked out. But I want to say, what impresses me most about them, besides how geniusly funny they are, and really they are so uniquely funny and quick, and all of those things are true. But as you get older, you realize also what matters is how people treat other people, and these people, they're just the nicest people out there. They treat me always with respect. It seems like they treat everybody with respect, and you know it's. Like sometimes I can be jaded, I think, or I think like sometimes the negative sometimes, and you just sometimes feel like these guys are really just really appreciative for where they're at, what they're doing. We talk about their tour. We talk about them touring again. It's a great conversation, and I really look up to them so much. But like across the board, I look up to their sense of humor, where you're just like, how they're just so It's just so fun. You just want to live in that space. And that's why I feel like everybody listens to them every day of the week, because you just want to be around them. You want to kind of live in that. There's a joy in what they do, and the sky's the limit. It blows me away with them is that, I think we bring this up on there, is that they were selling out venues, you guys, that some of my favorite alternative artists weren't selling out, you know? I mean, that just blows me away. And it just shows the power of this medium, even though I think a lot of people still disrespect podcasts and don't know what they are. And they're like, oh, the cast pod you do. And that's a little cute thing. And they don't realize how many of us really spend our days with this. This is like a home away from home, you know? And I think that is just kind of the coolest environment that people like that, people like Ronnie and Ben, have helped create. They've done this for a decade. My God. Can you imagine? I don't know. So they're today. Let's do a couple stories just so I can get my rage out. And especially since I just got a 3-hour nap. What the hell is wrong? Does anybody want to move in and just be my life coach? Like, you can just tell me when to wake up. You tell me how to dress. Like, I mean, what is it? Do I need to get married again? Is that the deal? Like, please, can somebody tell me what to do? It is not working. Maritza, Megan, all the women in my life, just tell me what to do. Just please. I'll give you full conservatorship rights to me. Just take control. Tell me what to wear. Tell me when to record. We're good. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of a segment I used to do called the Bailey Mail. And that's pretty much where I just read the Daily Mail headlines. I kind of round robin it, see if there's anything that interests me. Now, the Daily Mail is my newspaper of note. It's not a physical paper. It's an app on my phone. And horrible people run the Daily Mail if you look into it. It's overseas. But also, to me, it is, there's like, for me, celebrity pop culture went in phases. You know, you had your Perez Hilton, of course, back in the day. Then that launched you into TMZ, D-listed, you know, Defamer, all of these other things. And I think then you kind of graduate to a certain point, Daily Mail, because Daily Mail refreshes at all times. Like, I will read the entirety of Daily Mail and then just keep refreshing until they refresh their stories. Now, right off the bat, this is on their U.S. showbiz pays. This is their top story, exclusive, it says. So you're like, damn, they got an exclusive. Nice. Camila Cabello puts on a very cheeky display in thong bikini as she sends temperature soaring during beach day in Miami. And it's exactly what you would think. They've got a picture of Camila Cabello in a yellow thong. And I just love the verbiage that Daily Mail or any of these kind of rags use. They'll always use things like send temperature soaring, or it'll be tot tummies. Kendall Jenner has a tot tummy. Like, if you put the search word tot tummy into Daily Mail, you'll have pages and pages of results. In fact, I've put that on my Instagram stories at times where I'll just use every time. They're obsessed with weird things, the Daily Mail. They love Colin Farrell's forearms. They'll be like, Colin Farrell showing us those forearms again. Or they're obsessed with Ireland Baldwin, Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger's daughter. There's no reason we should know Ireland Baldwin. She's not even on Dancing with the Stars. There's no reason, yet she's in the Daily Mail on a daily basis. And that's what fascinates me about the Daily Mail. You'll sometimes just be like, whoa, where did that come? There's this other girl, Demi Rose, who is on the Daily Mail all the time. And from what I can tell, she's just a young girl that lives in a bikini. She's not any, I don't think she's a singer, actor, whatever, but I feel like I've watched her grow up in a bikini these last couple of years. And I'm just like, how does one become just Daily Mail famous? Because I've never heard of her outside of the Daily Mail. It's just interesting. So Camila Cabello sent temperature soaring in a thong bikini as she hit the beaches of Miami on Monday. Now, this, I feel like you should be able to sue for things like this, because there's no way that she sent one temperature soaring. And that's no offense to Camila Cabello. She looks fine in a yellow bikini, but there's no, like, it wasn't like Miami. I have friends in Miami. They weren't like, there is a pandemic and a half happening. Camila Cabello went on the beach today and she killed people. Literally, they exploded. Their temperature rose so high because of this. But this is what I love about pop culture and the Daily Mail. This is the top story on the Daily Mail headline. Okay, here's another one. Chelsea Handler announces she's finally in love with the best guy there is. And that guy, you guys, is stand-up comedian Joe Coy. Joe Coy. I always say Joy Coy. Joe Coy. So Chelsea Handler is in love. She's 46 years old, it says. She boasts 15.1 million social media followers. And she posted this evening. Just sitting here in Mallorca thinking about how grateful I am to have so many people that I love in my life, to live the life I do, and to be going on tour doing what I love. And that I'm finally in love with the best kind of guy there is. There is hope for everyone. That kind of stuff, she says. There is hope for everyone. We got to get away from this narrative that there's hope for everyone. We're only full and complete if we're in love. Come on. Let's get away from that narrative. That's such an unfair narrative and untrue. But congratulations, Chelsea. I don't know Joel Coy. I just know that he's a stand-up, and I believe he was on her panel, right? But also, I long to do Instagram posts from places like Mallorca. Like, guys, hey, guys, it's Ryan here. Just standing here in Mallorca. I just took a 3-hour nap. I couldn't make it through Dancing with the Stars. A little gassy, but also thinking about how much I love my life and all of you. I also went on 3 dates, and I feel like there's hope for all of us. Toot. Hey, guys, it's me, Ryan. I'm in Barcelona, and I was just thinking about what a joy it is to live the life I do. Hi, guys. I'm in Bakersfield, California, and I was just thinking about the amazing life. And it's a picture of her staring off into the sunset. You always wonder, because we do this ourselves with Instagram posts, like, who's in charge of, does she sheepishly ask a friend, will you take a picture of me looking out onto the ocean? I'm going to do a sentimental post. Like, does she know, like, hey, I want to do a sentimental post. Could you get me just looking off into the distance? It's always like a Bachelor contestant when I always feel embarrassed for them in those first couple episodes where they have to do like a voiceover over them looking contemplative out into the woods. They'll be like, I've had a good life, but I've never found love. And I always like the director's like, yeah, just look off into the distance. Look like you're thinking about love. That's what this picture looks like. And I know we all do that ourselves, but it really always makes me laugh when a celebrity does that, which I don't know why it does, but you know what I'm saying? It makes me laugh. Cause you're like, you're already a celebrity. You can pay your bills. Like we're not, I mean, I get like, who's, I mean, how many of us are, I mean, there's gotta be 10% maybe that are completely invested in Chelsea Handler's love life. Like I like Chelsea Handler fine, but I didn't read that post and go, thank God. Okay, well, I'm going to sleep easy tonight. Chelsea is taken. And then I just take out my notebook and I cross her name out. She has found love. She's doing good. This is interesting. Tom Ford, the designer, Tom Ford's husband and partner of 35 years, Richard Buckley, dies age 72 of natural causes. Now, Tom Ford, an extremely good looking man, designer, also a film director. He's directed 2 films that I thought were great. I didn't know he was married, and I didn't know he was married to somebody 35 years his senior. So that's a very sad thing. Interesting. Here's one. Kanye West allegedly, quote, bragged about hooking up with Christina Milian and claimed he cheated on Kim Kardashian in a 2016 outburst. Have you noticed we've been getting a lot of news stories lately with Kanye West having cheated on Kim Kardashian? You always got to pay attention to when these news stories get pushed. And I feel like we've gotten a lot of Kanye West cheated on Kim Kardashian during their marriage stories, which almost led me to believe, did Kim or Chris push these stories after Donda came out to kind of let the public know that they are not actually getting back together, even though she did put on her wedding dress for a stadium event, which is just still so bizarre. So it says an insider close to West's team claims the rapper boasted of a fling with Milian to his team during his 2016 St. Pablo tour. West, who has toured and collaborated with Milian in the past, allegedly didn't specify if the hookup was before or during his marriage to Kim Kardashian. Like, how is this a story? He bragged to his posse during a 2016, like, and also was like, yo, smell my fingers. That's Christina Milian. Like, how do you boast? Like, this is, and how does this 2016, and then all of a sudden the source is like, it's 2021. Now's the time. I need to tell you guys the story about when Kanye bragged about Christina Milian. It says he allegedly used graphic language to describe the tryst. Like, what? Oh, shit, man. I was small spoon. Yeah, I spooned that shit up. West appears to rap about an infidelity on his song Hurricane from his latest album, Donda. They're also saying, you guys, TMZ is reporting that Kanye just dropped $56.7 million on a Malibu bachelor pad. And it looks like all Malibu houses, you know, space is a high commodity in Malibu. They all look so close together from the outside. And then you get, you know, but like, could you imagine, like, talk about, no offense, like I, you know, you guys know how I feel about Kanye, but also I think we can all agree, nightmare neighbor, right? Like nightmare neighbor. Like, could you, like, you know, he's like coming over to borrow a cup of flour and like everything. He's like, I need it all. I'm going to talk to you all night. You just feel like that could potentially be a nightmare. Like, you know, you get your dream pad in Malibu, everything's great. And then Kanye West moves in and then he's trying to complete Donda at all hours of the night. So I thought that was a weird story. Wendy Williams, you guys, prayers for Wendy Williams. Wendy Williams was drinking every day before being taken to the hospital last week for psychiatric evaluation and is now fighting a breakthrough COVID infection. Now, we all love Wendy Williams. I mean, she's definitely a controversial figure. Did you guys all watch that Lifetime, the authorized Lifetime movie of Wendy Williams' life and then the documentary afterwards? What was that, like 6 months ago? Who knows? But it was a great night of television. But Wendy definitely, you know, she has had a lot of, not sorrow, but she's just had a lot of trouble in her life. For somebody that comments on pop culture on her show, you know, your heart goes out to anybody that goes through this stuff. But I find it fascinating is somebody that can, with laser-like precision, usually kind of nail celebrity pop culture. And then to become part of that narrative, to be scooped up in. And I'm sure a lot of people, not like think negatively of Wendy Williams, but a lot of celebrities are like, screw you. You talk shit about me all the time. So I always wonder, but it just seems like she's battled a lot of things and they've kept a good handle on it, keeping a lot of it secret, but you'll notice little blips throughout her career. I mean, you guys even remember when she passed out on stage during a live taping during her Halloween episode. So here's a story I hate. Khloe Kardashian and on-off-again beau Tristan Thompson hold hands with daughter True after dance class as they step out amid reports the NBA star is trying to get her back. You report, like, Tristan's full-time job is trying to get Khloe back all the time. And the thing is, then he gets her back, then he screws it up, and then he tries it, and then he's like, time to get back to my full-time job of trying to win her back. I'm telling you, this guy's got a sickness like other men where he only gets turned on when he's either hurt Khloe or he's trying to get Khloe back. It doesn't seem like he does good with just having Khloe because he's had Khloe multiple times and he's never happy with it. So it's one of those things. And poor True, she's always getting swung, you know, where you're like, mommy, daddy, swing me. And she doesn't seem, I mean, I just feel bad. Like she's just always in the middle of getting swung. Which also, how does that work when he's so extremely tall? I feel like it's going to elongate her. Anyways, we'll keep an eye on that, but I get pissed so much. Olivia Jade makes first appearance with Dancing with the Stars and looks to moving forward following college admissions scandal. I hate Olivia Jade, not in the sense of I know who she is at all. I just hate what she represents. She's a certain kind of pop culture that that has come to fruition because of YouTube and TikTok and things like that, where we give our attention to people with no discernible talent. And you'd be like, well, they're really likable. Guess what? So is a lot of my family. Like, I try not to talk to them on a daily basis at all. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we give our love away so easily. And it used to be somebody with an extreme talent. Think about boy bands. Like, even, you know, you're like, well, they were singing and dancing. That's actually a discernible talent. You had people like Olivia Jade doing YouTube videos of like, this is what it's like to get up for college. And then you find out, like, even with all the wealth and all of these advantages, you know, you're still having to cheat to get into places that people have worked really hard to get into. So it is interesting when then she's positioned on a show like Dancing with the Stars of like taking back her narrative. And I will say, though, to her credit, I was awake for her segment of Dancing with the Stars before I passed out. And she did impress me. I thought she did good dancing. She did the good old dancing. Loved it. Let's see here. This is another great Daily Mail story. Kris Jenner rocks leather pants for a sushi date with her toy boy, Corey Gamble, at Nobu Malibu. Kris Jenner is a, you know, one or two times a week at Nobu Malibu. I always love Kris Jenner's fashions. She's another person that is really skirting that line of military wear. You can always tell when a celebrity has gotten either too much money or too much power. They start dressing near military garb. We, of course, saw it with Michael Jackson. But I was even commenting about this last week with the Met Ball. Timothée Chalamet seems like he's starting to dress near military garb. Of course, we had Corey Feldman back in the 80s. But Kris Jenner always wears like a pantsuit. But I feel like in a couple of years, we're going to start seeing medals pop up, you know, like just fake random medals and epaulets on her shoulders. But also, you got to admire somebody like, well, not admire, I'm using the word. You've got to be fascinated with somebody like Corey Gamble, her boyfriend, a much younger boyfriend, which is great. Get yours, Kim. But Corey's like, I'm always here to get that booty. Like he said that on the show. Like it was like, it made me, not only her kids awkward, but he was like, I love to get up in that. Kim. Like, and he was telling the daughters how much he likes to have sex with their mother. And you're just like, yo, Kris, you take care of the kids. I'm going to take care of you. And that's what he told her. He was like, I'm here to take care of you. And that's got to be nice. But have you ever seen Corey Gamble when he's like on the yacht in Italy? Like they always yacht over the summer and he'll post dance videos. And I got to say, it's not bad. You can just tell he's like, this is the life. And I think he probably does love boning Kris Jenner. Like Kris Jenner is a very attractive lady, but it's like he only has one job. Like, I don't think Corey Gamble at this point does anything else except pop that booty for Kris Jenner. And so I feel like he's like, I feel like he really gives her the attention that she potentially deserves. But like, do you get bonuses for that? Like, how do you get, what's the payment structure for popping Kris Jenner's booty? You know, do you guys ever think about that? I do. let's see here. Dua Lipa looks chic in long black gloves and a white dress shirt with on a romantic dinner date in New York with her boyfriend Anwar Hadid, the Hadid boy. You guys know how I feel like Anwar, as I call him, old shovel face. He's wearing a Metallica shirt in this. Now, I know Anwar is anti-vax. It could be because of Lyme's disease. Who knows? But I don't like this kid. I've told you from the I do not like the Hadid boy. I like Gigi and Bella. I do not like Anwar. We, of course, have met Anwar from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills when Yolanda, his mom, was on that show. But I just don't. I like Dua Lipa. And I've said this many times on the show. This is a couple, though, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, where their significant other brings their stock down. I think, and I hate to say, I'm being completely honest. This might be out of pocket, but I do not like Dua Lipa as much anymore because of Anwar. And I know that's horrible. You're like, how did that change your music? It doesn't. But the fact that somebody I like as much as Dua Lipa likes Anwar Hadid makes me think me and Dua are not on the same page. I don't know. Anyways, also JoJo Siwa makes history on Dancing with the Stars tonight with the first same-sex dance with pro partner Jenna Johnson. Quote, we're going to be inspiring. That's awesome, man. Cool. First, like, lesbian. Dope. Oh, this is a good one. We'll end on this one. Amelia Hamlin says sorry to dad Harry Hamlin for rocking a barely there naked dress in London. Quote, it's fashion. And this shot she's referring to, we see both of Amelia Bedelia, Lisa Rinna's offspring, her nips. And the article starts, she's never been the shy type. Like, what? And Amelia Hamlin put it all out there on Sunday, donning a barely there naked dress during London Fashion Week. Though most were wowed by her frock, I was not wowed. The model 20 was sure to say sorry to Father Harry Hamlin after some suggested he would be scandalized by her next to nude look. He's like, I got to go out and garden by myself because I am so upset about seeing my daughter's nips. She posted a screenshot of their group text where she wrote to the family group text, sorry for my nipped dad, it's fashion. And Lisa goes, I just saw LOL, it's fashion. And she posts a lot of N's. Her dad has yet to respond, the article points out. Sister Delilah Bell Hamlin, or as I call her, not Amelia, 23, was also head over heels for the design, which was by designer Natalia Fedner. Natalia, way to go. Way to let us see Amelia Bedelia's nips. And the picture is fine. Like, her nips are fine. I'm a grown-up. I've seen a couple nips in my day. In fact, I have two of them myself. What bothers me about the picture, and you guys got to see this picture yourselves, whatever is happening in her eyebrow region, it's like her eyebrows went to Ash Wednesday at Catholic Church. Like, they just look all, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not even paying attention to those nips. I'm up there at the brows, like, going, what is, it's like a caveman thing. You guys got to see the picture and you'll know what I'm talking about. But Amelia is on, of course, a full press assault right now. You're going to see her name continually pop up, as you have in the last couple of weeks, because of the breakup with Scott Disick. So it's important for her to get out there and to show that she is doing great. So Amelia Bedelia, we are proud of you. We're proud of those nips. Sorry, Harry. Let's take care of those brows. Let's wipe that brow off. And that is the Bailey Mail. That was fun, wasn't it, folks? Thank you so much, you guys. I hope you have the best time with this conversation, because I sure did. Watch What Crappens, Ben Mandelker, Ronnie Karam, legends, legends, legends. Here they are, and I'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday. Bye. You guys, you know, with this podcast, I like to focus on up and coming podcasts. And we've got two guys here today that I am so, you got to pay attention to these guys. They are ones to watch. You don't actually, they are the best there is. This is like the Grateful Dead of Bravo podcast. They cover everything so brilliantly, and they are really, to me, the Mount Rushmore, two of the faces on all of podcasting of Bravo, but just insanely funny. And I always say this to people, just insanely, insanely nice. This is like a Make-A-Wish moment for me to have both of them on at the same. No, screw that. No, I don't care. I can say this. You guys have done this forever, and you're brilliant every day, and that's it. So everybody, watch What Crappens. Ben Mandelker, Ronnie Karam, welcome back to the show.
Oh, hey.
Thank you. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was so good.
I'm going to replay that every night before I go to sleep.
Me too.
Hey, Ben, what's up? I just think you're so brilliant.
More. I'm the Grateful Dead and the Mount Rushmore.
I guess the first question is, how threatened right now are you? This past Sunday, Mary announced she has a podcast from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. How do you feel that? Do you, when somebody announces, like, I feel like that's a gauntlet thrown down.
Yeah, it's scary because we feel like we're doing pretty well, but she's on the Jesus Network, as in, like, Jesus is distributing her podcast specifically. And it's really hard to compete with Jesus and his numbers.
Well, speak for yourself, because my first thought was, bitch, you're not the only one with Jesus on your side.
Okay. Well, that's what I mean. Also, like, Jesus to name check Jesus and to say, like, pretty much Jesus will kick your ass if you come for me. Like, that's so, like, do you think she approves that with Jesus beforehand? Because I feel like that's like copyright issues or something.
I feel like anybody else in the Bible would have worked for that, you know, because like the Bible really is full of pox and vengeance. You know, there's a lot of, like, I'll send a burning bush after you, you know, I'll send like leprosy after you, your penis will fall off, something. But Jesus, like, you can't send Jesus after people.
I know. I felt like, now I'm Jewish, so maybe I don't understand all the, you know, subtleties of Jesus, but I feel like saying I'm going to send Jesus after you, it sounds like Jesus has like a machete, and he's just ready to attack anyone who comes for Mary. I'm like, is that what Jesus stands for?
No, it's Old Testament.
Yeah, it's that's like Jesus BC. With a six pack and like just ripped, and like you almost picture him with like a gun or something too.
Yeah.
Like, no. Jesus didn't do that. He drank wine, he gave people fish sandwiches, and he fasted his ass off. Even when they crucified him, he didn't do anything. He was like, okay, you know, he's like, forgive them. You know, they don't know who they're crucifying.
It's like, it is a very subtle threat.
But Mary did nail how a podcast starts. Is that you pretty much?
No pun intended.
No, I know. No pun intended. Jesus, sorry. If you're listening, Jesus, shout out. But she nailed it. Like, podcasts really do start with you just talking to mannequins. Like, yes. I feel she nailed it, you know?
And they continue that way, you know? Yeah. And you do solo podcasting, which is cray cray. I mean, Ben went to the restroom the other day, and we were doing a live. Well, not live, but we were recording over YouTube, right? And so I just kept talking, and it was really hard. I mean, I made it, I think, 6 minutes and I was exhausted. I was sick of hearing myself.
It was really unfortunate, the amount of food I had eaten the night before, because it really, in the end, it was Ronnie who was the, victim of that situation.
You guys do have each other, though, because sometimes if I do a solo one, I'll get so ridiculous that I immediately get ashamed of myself. And then there's nobody there to like bounce off of or laugh or say that's too far or something. And it's like, it must be nice. I mean, for so many reasons to have each other, but I got to imagine it's just like, that's what feeds your energy is each other. And that's what people are so drawn to, you know?
It's really good. When you start a joke and then you realize you don't know where to take the joke and you have a partner who can just like save you, you know, it's, like, it's almost like we're both just terrible trapeze artists. And at any given moment, like one of us is the safety net and one of us, although Ronnie actually always lands his joke. It's basically just me. I just need the Ronnie safety net and I'm constantly jumping for the trapeze and I'm falling into Ronnie's arms.
Yeah, we're both not really great finishers. We'll both start.
All something. You need is a start, though. That's all you need. Podcasting is not about finishing anyways. There's no period on a podcast. To get some business out of the way first, the question that everybody will always ask you guys is, when is the live touring coming back? I'm imagining 2022 for you guys, but I would love to announce a specific date right now just to get some numbers on this podcast.
I wish we could tell you, but we have to hold off a little bit longer. There's stuff that, you know, like
there's percolating contract.
There's stuff that has to like business stuff, like Lisa Vanderpump business stuff that has to be kind of like dotted lines, etc.
Nigel Lane is finishing Caesar's Palace.
We're going to have a tour inside of another tour.
He's designing a giant clock for us to bring on the stage. So once that's done, we can announce. But we are going to announce it as soon. We thought we're going to be able to announce it this coming week, but we're not able to. So we're going to announce it as, don't you worry, you will definitely hear.
Okay.
2022, but there's so much shit always going on. Like, it just never freaking stops. It's like, okay, now everybody can kind of go to COVID, but then you have to have a vaccination for the COVID, but then you don't have to have a vaccination for the COVID, but then there's another COVID. There's a woo COVID. Ooh, it's like the new woo COVID.
Well, my friend Nicki Minaj says your balls get really huge if you get the vaccine. So just
girl, then I must have gotten that shit when I was born.
we had actually booked Nicki Minaj to be our house band for all of our shows, but unfortunately she's not allowed because she hasn't gotten the vaccine, so sorry.
And
guys,
that's her loss. She needed this too. I mean, she needed that. So live shows will come back, but I remember I was at your crappy awards 2 years ago before COVID hit. It was like the Christmas before COVID hit. And I had never seen anything like that. The kind of energy where I was like, at one moment halfway through the show, I was like, do they bolt down the chairs? Cause at some point you just pictured like ladies, like with chairs over their head, like Planet of the Apes, like, cause it was so insane. Like, you guys are like circus masters. And I had never seen a group of people have that much fun in what, like, it was like so much. I mean, it was just palpable, the energy, you know.
It was our shows are definitely a trip.
I think it helps that we really promote alcoholism on our show. We're really big about just like being drunk and having a party, and man, people really come and party. It's taken a while just to recover from that. We're talking about like, okay, if we start this soon, how's that going to work?
Is your body able to tour again? Like, you got, I mean, like, you to be like, have to, I always worry about like people, like when Carl says he went dry on Summer House, you know, like, I hate that my initial reaction was like, oh no, that's like,
all of us were,
Listen, we will make the sacrifice. We will drink the drinks. But you know what? It's kind of funny. One of my favorite little anecdotes, Ronnie's probably sick of me telling this one, because this is like my favorite thing of all time, is that when we performed in Dallas, we performed at the Texas Theater, which famously is where Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested. You know, and so we performed there. This is a theater that's been around since like the 20s or maybe the 10s, 1910s, 20s, 30s, whatever. It's like decades old. And we performed there, and they told us that our audience broke the single night record for alcohol sales. And I was like, this is what I love about, like, this is a crap. This is like such a huge feather in the cap that here's this storied movie theater that's part of American history. And it's two big things are, Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested and Walter Crackens broke the record for most alcohol sales.
Your audience might grow with you in the sense of like, when I started seeing Ronnie and Ben, I was drinking beer, but now I've moved up to hard alcohol.
It's really great. What's really cool is that like everyone's very, like everyone has a good time. Yeah. It's not like some like barroom brawl and it's, wow. I am so excited to see it again, to go.
I mean, it's gotta be, but tour. Was there ever any kind of trepidation or like when you guys started doing COVID shows, like just on like, was there a learning curve with that of like bringing the
we never
kind
did
of,
it.
Like,
we haven't we never done a did COVID it. Show.
No, no.
We
I were, mean like just not doing the live shows at all. Did that kind of bring you down? Like, did that like dampen your spirits for a while before you were able to like, or was it pretty easy to switch everything over and not do the live shows?
Well, it's much easier to not just because you're at home all the time, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to get up and go anywhere. So that made it a lot easier. It's also, you know, it makes it easier having an audience with a comedy thing because it makes you feel so good that your energy is like, blah! And when you don't have that anymore. Yeah. I mean, it is harder not having anybody like cracking up, you know, except Ben, you know, and you have to work for that. It's not like that just comes.
Yeah. But to be fair, also when COVID hit and we basically had to postpone a whole bunch of shows, we had been at that point touring very aggressively for many months. So it was actually not the worst thing in the world to be like, oh, I can take a break and be home for a weekend.
For
many, many, many weekends. So it actually was in certain ways, it was nice to have a little break. But that being said, I think like what Ronnie said, that feedback from the audience, when people are just like, you hear like laughs, in-person laughs, is really intoxicating.
And people are there for you. Like, it's like nobody's like there to heckle you. People are there to laugh with you. And like, that's like the coolest thing where you're like, I mean, that is such a really cool energy. But the last thing I wanted to, before we can get to some really, really fun stuff in terms of making fun of Lisa Rinna, the Spotify Green Room, if you guys don't know, I think Spotify just started this new app that you can download where you can actually you're doing a live show called Take a Seat, right? Is it on Mondays?
Yeah. It's Mondays at 7 o'clock on the West Coast and 10 o'clock on the East Coast.
And so you guys host a live talk show every Monday for Spotify?
Yeah. So basically we just get on there and talk shit. And we thought, what are we going to do? Cause we're so used to having recap notes in front of us, you know? So I was a little nervous at first, but it was really, really fun and easy. And you can talk to the people in the room, you know, bring people up. And so they were all really funny. They all did a really good job. And that's another thing about this. Like, we found out touring and meeting people, so many of the listeners are really, really funny. And their opinions are really like, it's not your standard kind of when you go on the Facebook Bravo page and read the comments and they're like racist, horrible trolls a lot of times.
You know, I mean, like scary. Like I've gotten like scared reading comments where I'm like, oh God, I've got to shut my phone off. Like, this is scary.
Yes, I know. Like, did they worm their way into my phone? But yeah, I get scary. And there's, I guess, different sects of like Bravo fan, not sex. Sects.
S-E-C-T-S. Yes.
There's different Bravo neighborhoods. Okay. And we, and all, you know, like you and our friends that we've made doing this, we're all like kind of sarcastic, fun neighborhood, I guess. So that makes it a lot easier doing something like Take a Seat. Cause you know, you're just talking to your friends really.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also fun for us because with our podcast, our whole thing is that we recap shows beat by beat and we make fun of them as we go along. We will, you know, sometimes, you know, take a moment to sort of like analyze the situation or weigh in, but it's really about recapping and making jokes as we go along. And so what's nice about Take a Seat for us is that we can sort of just, it's more conversational. We can kind of, we don't have to worry about this happened and this happened and this happened. We can kind of just like talk about things as a whole, the things that we thought were really funny. And we're also not hemmed in only with Bravo, although we're not only hemmed in on our podcast either, but we are like, we had our premiere episode. We talked almost entirely about Bravo. But, you know, going forward, we say it's like a pop culture show with a Bravo slant. So we will be talking mostly about Bravo, but we'll talk about other pop culture stuff. So that's going to be cool, too, to sort of branch out a little bit beyond the network.
So you guys go download that Spotify Green Room app. I'm going to go check it out this Monday, but it really sounds like a really cool thing to do. And I love Spotify personally. But you guys, even on your regular show, you just did a Dear Evan Hansen trailer breakdown, yes. Which by the way, that has inspired me as an older man to go back to high school.
You fit right in on that movie.
Yeah, like, I was like, so this is about a 40-year-old man that goes back to high school. Like, this is cool. So in terms of Bravo, where would you say we are right now from where you started to where you are, where we are now? It feels like Bravo has gone on like major steroids. Like, where do you feel like if you could, where you started to where you are now, if you could watch like an episode of Beverly Hills or Salt Lake, what would you think?
That's a tough question. Like, so how has Bravo changed or
well, like or just think? Like, can you believe the insanity? Like, we're almost getting near like murder mysteries now during seasons, yeah. Where we're like with the Erica Jane stuff, we're like, do we solve the crime at the end of the season? Like, what happens? Like, there's this added element, you know?
It feels, you know, it felt a couple of years ago, I was telling Ben, how much longer can this last? Honestly, I mean, Housewives have been out. It's been well over a decade now, right? And everything is in a cycle. Everything's cyclical. So it seems like, okay, that's over. Now what's next, right? So it's like always looking around for what the next thing is. And like, oh my God, am I going to have to wait tables? Like, again, yeah. What's happening? But it just keeps going. Like, it's amazing. And these Housewives shows, I mean, there were a couple of points, well, really over the whole time of it. But in the past couple of years, there have been a couple of low points. Okay. I mean, Orange County was not just COVID infected. That decline started happening long before COVID. And then Vanderpump Rules had its not great season. And there were so many things that were like, uh-oh, this is over, right? Because people are online like, fuck that. I'm not watching that anymore. Which, by the way, is just a thing that Bravo watchers say to themselves because
I know by the way, you can do the shittiest season ever. I am still going to watch. Like, I don't even bother saying anything like that. I love people that are like, I'm dipping on OC. I'm like, I don't like it, but I'm going to continue to watch it. Yeah, I'm a masochist. Right. I'll watch it until it's dead.
Well,
you know,
it was funny because last year, heading into like August or so, when Orange County and Southern Charm were coming back, there were tons of people online saying how I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to participate in this. I'm not going to support these shows. And those shows had our highest numbers. Okay. So like people definitely still watch them. Right. But I think, you know, I think one thing that would strike me if I were like from when we started 10 years ago, I think something that might strike me is like the glam level that's gone up. I've ranted about the glam squads. I'm not going to rant about the glam squads for the millionth time. But what I will say is, like they really do now go all out with the fashion on some, not unlike Beverly Hills and New York, not obviously Orange County. They're like going out on fashion. Orange County is like,
shout out Gina.
Yeah. It's like Gina found a gather sign. But I think like the sort of like production value in certain ways has gone up a lot over the past 10 years. And I also think, you know, I've been reflecting a lot about the Jill Zarin, Bethany Frankel fight and how we all were really on Bethany's side. And now in retrospect, if you think back on it, like the issue is that Bethany, like Bobby had cancer and Bethany didn't even visit him. And that's actually like a really bad thing. And how nowadays I think that, like we all kind of got rid of Jill.
You try and lump me in with the team Jill. Hell no. Wow. I'm still I'm still team Bethany just for that season. Okay, continue. I'm sorry to
interrupt. But what I'm saying though is that I don't think that Jill Zarin nowadays would have necessarily been kind of like railroaded out of Bravo the same way as she was earlier on, you know, because I think we've had bigger monsters now.
Yeah, but it is interesting how Jill Zarin especially, she really has been railroaded out. Like now it's like a Susan Lucci thing where it's part of Bravo of Jill Zarin wanting to come back on a show and not being able to come back on a
the
show.
Thirst.
Like, yeah, like it's like part of the charm of Bravo.
they just won't let Jill back in.
You know, but for as much as people say they hate people like Jill Zarin or even Vicki Gunvalson, people still talk about them a lot. Everything that Vicki does becomes news. It gets shared on every Facebook group. And I'm, you know, Vicki is truly a terrible, awful person. But the truth is that people are fascinated by her. They like every single thing she does, people are tweeting about. So I think there's something to be said about
that's
that.
That's it. Is that, you know, is that I really railroad Lisa Rinna every week. I feel like Carol Channing would say, like, it's too much, Lisa. It's too much. Like, because she'll even, like, last night with, like, the talking head, she said something and then she threw in, like, she'll always throw in of, like, ha! Like, she just throws in a, oh, she's out of got nowhere. This new,
and she keeps upping it every year, you know? Yes! I mean, it went from laughing at herself to literally now being like, she added a new laugh this season, which I think is funny. She goes, it's like a bird. It's like a bird that's been shot and it's slowly going down. Well,
it was like when she found that fucking bell 2 weeks ago, I was like, Lisa Rinna is like the carrot top of Bravo all of a sudden. And it was like, your laugh is a bell. It's a clarion call and you do not need another. And like, I just picture her in that damn garage where she keeps all her clothes. You know, it's like her little troll lair.
Yes.
And she's just like laughing and all that stuff. And like last night, Harry Hamlin, I don't even think he booked a movie role. I think he made up, he got a Tom Brokaw role just to get the fuck out of there. You know,
that is, you're right. Because that is literally the most like, you're on, like, why are you going to Canada? The most caught on the spot excuses. I got a movie role with Ridley Scott. He's like clearly doing the usual stuff. He's like looking at things on the wall and creating a story. Like there's like a picture, like there's a broken thing. He's like, Brokaw. I'm Tom Brokaw.
Yes, that did sound weird to me too. I was like, does somebody eat Tom Brokaw in this movie? What the fuck is Ridley Scott doing on
there? It's Gladiator with Tom. And then did you see Kyle when Harry goes, he sometimes goes high with his voice and sometimes he goes low, and Kyle goes, oh my god, you did it. Like Kyle, it was like a magic trick. Like she was so amazed.
Kyle being around a real actor. I mean, there's just so much to love, isn't there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like Beverly Hills, we have like these grand plot lines with Erica Jane, but still, even if you took out the Erica Jane, I feel like this season works on so many levels because I really am invested in each one of those ladies, even Lisa Rinna. And part of these shows that I like is hating somebody. Like I really like to dislike people, you know?
You know what's funny?
Like we were just saying,
yes.
Yes, yes, exactly, yeah.
Negativity is the way to go. Positive people are miserable. Have you noticed that? Positive people are the ones who break down the worst in any situation and freak out. It's the negative people who are really the most positive people. And I stand by that. And that's why these shows give us such an outlet, because it's like you can focus your anger at all the jerks in real life because they're all personified on these shows, just in, you know, more expensive weed.
Hey guys, we'll be back to
picture a wardrobe upgrade with quality essentials at an unbeatable price. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You will have them in your closet forever. You guys, I got the blue sports jacket. I got the leather coat. I got the cashmere socks. I've bought gifts for my sister and my dad, and I love it. A black leather coat? Are you kidding me? I can wear that anywhere. And what's so amazing is that these prices I can afford. Quince has all the must-haves like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They do this by partnering directly with top factories. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes that savings on directly to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sobad.
Watch what crappens in a second. We got to sell some soap. Guys, these are the ads I was speaking about, and we have two companies that have been with me before, and this first one, this is the second time they've been with us, and I love this product, and I love this company. It's Osea. So it is so difficult, you guys, to find clean skincare products that are good for your skin and the planet, but also give you the results you want. So luckily, Osea has been making products that do just that for over 25 years. And when it comes to clean beauty, Osea is the pioneer. They have award-winning cleansers, serums, and face moisturizers. Now, I'm going to mansplain to all of you ladies what all of these products are. No, it's so funny. I told you about these guys, this company a couple weeks ago when they first were on, and they actually did an onboarding call with me where they went through and explained all of the products and sent me the products. And then I talked to my female friends, my friend Megan, my friend Rebecca, and, you know, my friend Rebecca actually already uses these products, but I realize how important it is to actually have a skincare regime. And I know you ladies already have yours, but I think that this actually might be a product that you might want to add to it. So Osea is actually known for creating amazing body products as well, like their famous Undaria Algae Body Oil. So the Undaria Algae Body Oil is amazing. I use it myself now, and it leaves my skin feeling clean and rich, not sticky or oily. And especially you guys, after I've been sick, this is a product that has actually made me feel better because I felt so gross, like a slug on a rug, and it was horrible. So I know what you're thinking. Body oil? If you've been using body lotion for years, you might be a little wary of body oils. But let me tell you, I'm a convert. It soaks in easily, and it has this really kind of amazing citrus smell. And I can even smell this because remember, I had COVID over the holidays and it took a majority of my smell away. I can actually smell this. And I can't tell you how soft and smooth my skin feels after I put it on. In fact, if you see me in public, say, Ryan, can I feel your skin? And I will let you feel the smoothness, the silkiness of my skin. So Osea's products are clean, vegan, and cruelty-free, climate neutral, created with sustainability sourced seaweed, and made in California. And also there's a motorcycle that's driving right outside my house. But also, listen to that. Clean, vegan, cruelty-free, climate neutral, created with sustainability sourced seaweed, and made in good old California. Those are so many important things right there. Vegan and cruelty-free is huge. Climate neutral, I mean, that's what we've got to be doing in the future, and this is a company that supports all of this. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. So experience your new favorite clean skincare line with a special discount just for our listeners. Get 10% off your first order with promo code SOGOOD. Finally, a company has not used so bad, they've used so good as our promo code. That's S-O-G-O-O-D at OSEAMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order, and orders over $50 get free shipping. You are going to want it all. Go to OSEAMALIBU.com and use code SOBAD. Hell yeah, you guys. And also, this podcast is proudly sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? Goals are so important, and this is something that you can actually talk about your therapist with. It's important to actually have somebody that you can actually speak out loud your experience of life, of what you're trying to accomplish, of what you're trying to get through, of what is holding you back. And BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. And let me be clear, it's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online. So there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. In fact, I get so many people now that like will DM me or email and they're listening like Belgium, Italy. And I'm just like, whoa. But also you could actually use this service there. You can log into your account anytime and you can send a message to your therapist. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It is more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. Those are two huge things. We should not have to ever be priced out of getting help. And BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit BetterHelp.com/SoBad. That's BetterHelp. And join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Special offer for So Bad It's Good listeners. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/SoBad. That's BetterHelp.com/SoBad. You guys, that is the commercials for the week.
I was just saying on the podcast, we wrapped up our recording of the recap of the episode right before this. And I was just saying the same thing that like this season, I said, I heard it from someone, I was echoing what someone said online. Maybe it was you, Ryan, that what's nice about this season is that it's not just one storyline. There's actually a few different things happening. Was it you? Did you say it? Did I reference you?
No, I'm probably not, but I mean, I'll say but I agree. Yeah.
But yeah, that there's like a multidimensionality, if that's even a word, to this season. It is now. Thank you. It is now. And I don't know why. I don't know what caused that to happen. I think part of it must have been, I think, casting. I think getting rid of Teddy and bringing in Crystal was good. I think Sutton, last season, we both called it that Sutton was like what this franchise needed. I think Sutton is that sort of, she can't help but be herself. She's sort of like a wild card. And sometimes if you have someone in there, she sort of is a disruptor. So whatever sort of facade they're trying to have, if you have someone who kind of can't even do the facade because she's going to get too neurotic and get into her own head, that kind of helps break these sort of like walls of self-production that have been up for the past few seasons, you know?
Do you think though, Erica Jayne, like I always feel like they, not self-producing, but in a way, they're misjudging some of these ladies on how they think the audience is going to perceive them. I feel like Erica Jayne, especially with Sutton, like it's like she knows, she thinks Sutton is the weakest one. So she's just pummeling her like a narc at a biker rally, you know, where it's like, and Sutton just like, I'll say, I do not approve of that, Erica. You know, it's like,
They do it every year. They go on Twitter. They figure, you know, that's why Lisa Rinna is being so laid back this year and not, well, she wouldn't attack Rinna or Erica anyway, but even when she's mad, she's just like sitting back on the couch because she was such a villain last year that she's trying to recoup this year, you know, and they read online, they try to adjust and they get it wrong every single time. I mean, I remember when Erica first came on the show, we were talking to someone on that cast and they were saying, you know, we thought she was a dud. I mean, she didn't say anything when she showed up. If you watch all the group scenes, Erica doesn't say shit ever. Mm-hmm. She just shows up in a crazy outfit and just kind of sits there, maybe makes one or two comments. Everything she did was Mikey written in the producer room.
She's like Elton John without the songs. She's just costumes, you know?
without the talent. So she's no basically offense.
Spirit of Halloween. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, you know, the show's edited and she becomes a fan. And then suddenly everybody's kissing her ass from that moment on. Like suddenly Erica was somebody that they gave some respect to because she got it online, you know, and it lasted for a little while. But this year, I think they just planned on Erica being this huge victim and they stuck with it. And then once the show started to air and they're doing their their diary room sessions now, or recently at least, they're trying to amend, but it's a little bit late, guys.
Yeah. And you know, I was talking to a friend and he had a really good take on this, which was that basically it is that that intense self-production which has caused this scenario, because Erica has self-produced so hard over the past several seasons and we didn't really get to know her, or she kept all these things behind. This case, this law case, is the crumbling of all that. And they're kind of having to reckon with that and trying to figure that all out. And I also think there's something to be said for Garcelle, because Garcelle, I firmly believe, came into the season really for a paycheck. I don't think she likes really any of them except for Sutton. She clearly can't stand them all. And so she has actually been the one to be like, fuck you. Like literally saying, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. But like when they are kind of doing their fakey fake thing, she's the one to be like, you that's not what you said last night. She kind of is... she's kind of like not letting them simply just exist in their,
their delusion. Yeah.
Their delusion.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating to me. I mean, you need the Sutton and Garcelle team, and people try to lump Crystal in with that, even though I feel Crystal's on the other side with Kyle and all of those ladies.
She's on the cheerleader
side. She's sort of like in the middle somewhere, but leading towards trending Kyle.
She's a friend of Teddy, okay? Don't ever trust.
Oh my God, I really like Crystal, and then I read that one thing, and I can't shake it. Like, I like Crystal on the screen, but I can't shake that Teddy thing. I can't either. Because I'm like, either. To me, it's so obvious with Teddy is just like a non-factor. And it's that person that wants to be included so much. And the fact, and that's when you know the Fox Force 5 are so deluded. You know, it's like eventually they're going to have to part with Teddy and Teddy's going to like get hurt, you know?
But right. Crystal's also friends with Kathy Hilton, which is cool.
But so Kathy Hilton's kind of friends with like Bannisters, literally. Clocks. Like she's like dogs. Like I yes. mean, Michael Jackson.
I think she's like one of those Leah yeah. Black types that. Like Leah one time was, I said, who is that guy? And she said, oh, he was my Uber driver. Really liked him. So I invited him over. You know, it's like that. Like you'll be talking to someone thinking, oh my God, I wonder what studio this guy runs. He's like, hi, I'm the checkout guy at the Ross Dress for Less. You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Didn't you guys take Leah Black to Ross for the first time?
Ronnie did.
Oh, and Target. Well, it wasn't her first time at Target, but that was funny. But yeah. I think Kathy's one of those types who's just like, oh, I love your bakery. You want to come to my Christmas party?
but by the way, like she, like the little dollop you get of Kathy Hill, like people are like, oh, Kathy's losing me this week. I'm like, what are you? I mean, I don't want to have her have a main plot line. I want her to be this like kind of accoutrement to the yeah. meal and have her be wacky and weird. But at the same time, there's this emotional, really beautiful emotional thing with Kyle and her and that relationship. I kind of like did like tear up a little bit when they were at the TV trays. Well, no, I did. Come
Ryan,
on. I'm manopausing this month. It's like not a, it's.
You had strep throat. It's okay. You know what?
You didn't care that they hadn't talked for
no,
that long?
No, Kyle's a goddamn villain. Okay. And Kathy is, Kathy is only hedging her bets because Kyle is worth $100 million now. Okay.
Kathy, go ahead, Ben. I was going to say, Kathy is best in a friend of role because I think that if you were to go and if you wanted to get a full-fledged housewife out of her, then I think that she's not going to give herself over the way we would need her to. I mean, she didn't really even give over her dining room like that. I think it came out that dinner party was not even in her dining room.
She had a claw machine, which we didn't
I saw
notice.
The claw. yeah. Somebody pointed like that out to me. I was like, holy
shit. Like her game room or something.
Yeah, she's not going to do. I think that we would be gilding the lily if we made her a full-on housewife. I think as a friend of who comes in, it's perfect.
Because, yeah, you don't want her to, like, talk, like, have Paris Hilton come in and talk about how they had sent her off to that camp as a kid. Like, you know, like, there's, like, dark things in
you
Kathy
see,
Hilton's
past. I was going to bring that up, too, and I go back and forth with her. A, I don't trust when someone's that popular right off the bat. Never. There's always something wrong. I've learned that from all of these shows. There's always something there. Now, then, on the other hand, and then, you know, there was her saying like, oh, you know, if Sutton had pulled that crap in front of anybody else, she would have been out of this town or whatever. I was like, fuck off, lady. But then, you know, there's the other side. People come down on her for that sending Paris Hilton to the camp or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, well, what was, you know, like,
well, I
Paris
mean, she
was kind of a monster.
Yeah, I was like, she was a parent. It didn't turn out well for Paris.
Her
but
daughter
she
was like off,
was
like doing coke everywhere and like doing crazy shit. So what do you do? So I go back and forth. I'm like, do I really love her or do I not trust her yet? I really don't know, but I'm keeping my jury out because I just suspect that there's got to be something just awful there.
Do you think Rick Hilton knows that Kathy's on the show? Like, it always seems like he's never,
he's never around.
And I met Rick Hilton once, like 15 years ago. And I was like working at this nightclub and him and Kathy pulled up and they pulled up in a fire lane. And he just went out and like kind of threw his keys at me. And I wasn't a valet or it wasn't even a valet area.
He was just
like,
actually giving you a car.
I was outside smoking a cigarette at the time and he just threw me the keys and I didn't know. And then he just kind of stumbled into the step and repeat for like this dog event. And it was the most, and it always stuck with me because I didn't really know. I mean, I knew of the Hiltons, but I was like, Rick just seems so confused. And I was just like, I would love to see that energy.
Well, they say he's a big dodo bird. They say both of them are just kind of bimbos, right? Because we read parts of that House of Hilton.
Yeah.
And he's described as just being kind of the dumb one of the family.
Yeah, that's how I got my first Bentley. He just threw me the keys.
Yeah, he just took it. He just drove Kathy around for a year.
Now, Ronnie, I know you're in Austin and Ben is in Los Angeles. So I know you don't know this, Ronnie, but it is snowing in Pasadena today. And it's there is a nip in the air. And I was late earlier because I had flipped my car 5 times and I had glaucoma. So I had to go get an eye surgery. Yeah. But I made it here. And then my son came and checked. I chose to operate on my brain instead, but
Good choice. That was actually the best choice made on Bravo this week.
Well, it's, I mean,
close the brain over the ankle.
Is this Mad Libs? Like, what's happening with the amount of, and I hate that we're at a point where we're like, and I, by the way, the women of Bravo fans, like PK makes sense two episodes in a row, and people are like, oh my God, I'm so horny for PK. I'm so horny for, like, people immediately sexualize PK when they agree with them two episodes in a row. Like, do you notice that?
Yeah, suddenly you want like a jar of Crisco inside of you. I'm sure. And
I didn't know they were hot for him though.
And that's what I was people were saying, like, about Kathy Hilton. I was going to bring him up too. Like, this sudden PK is like a hero now. Okay, PK has had a good couple of episodes, but PK's whole—they're still in that house. That is not their house. They are burglars. Those two. I'm not falling for a damn thing.
We get a throwaway joke last night of, hey, I lost $2 billion for people. Like, he literally bragging about losing a vast amount of wealth for other people. And right.
But he calls it a victimless crime. I mean, that really pissed me off too. It's like, his crimes are not victimless crimes. That's ridiculous.
But that's why he knows Erica's full of shit, because he's a criminal too.
Yeah.
Yeah, his point isn't that she's a criminal. He's actually trying to stick up for her. He's saying, I believe Tom was so controlling that Tom was the one who's telling her what to do or whatever. He's kind of giving her an out there. He's just saying, you know, get better, you know, be better on Twitter.
This is basically Bravo's version of Silence of the Lambs, right? This is like PK as Hannibal Lecter. He's like, I'll get you inside the mind of the con artist, okay? It's like, I'll have some fava beans with Chianti and some tartar sauce, please.
Do you think, I mean, speaking of Erica, I mean, what would possess you if you were to go, is it just pure ego, which is why we love these ladies, but it destroys them at the same time? Is that why Erica Jane is hitting the social media so hard of like, why do we have to keep seeing pictures of her butthole from different years? Like, that's all she posts. But like, what is the thought process, do you guys think, behind that? Because even if she has nothing to do with this, why not chill for the time being?
Yeah, I think that, This is where PK is really shining. Okay. He's really shining with this advice, because she should not be doing that. And it's not coming from like a slut shamey place of like, oh wow, she's in trouble, and so she's going to be posting half naked. Like, it's not about posting half naked. It's about like, you should be creating a new image for yourself. You should be like leaving that behind. And then like, she should be having like a, I think it should be like Chip and Joanna. You mentioned, or Ronnie mentioned them earlier.
Jesus told me. I need another season.
Magnolia Living with Erica Jane. That should be her vibe. Making quinoa salads. Like, I love, this is my new life. Like, that should be your vibe. The fact that she actually is really seems to be doubling down on her whole pop star image. It's actually kind of, it's just, it's, well, her, it's a miscalculation.
Story is, I think her story, I think what she's doing is, her story is, she knew nothing. She was victimized as well, because she was living a lie with a man who was emotionally abusive. Cause that's what she was setting up at the beginning of the story.
Yeah.
Like, she was setting up this Lifetime movie for herself, where she's just the wife who doesn't find out until an hour and 15 minutes into the Rob Lowe movie that Rob Lowe is bad. He's a bad person. And then she's trying to stick with this whole thing and be a badass. Like, you can't bring me down, because she's a victim of all the public, right? The public's like pitchforks, you know, and tar and feathers or whatever. And she's like, oh, you're coming for me. You can't touch me, you peons. And I think in her mind, she's presenting a hero's tale, right?
Uncompromising.
Right. She's come back from the abusive, and I said that in quote marks, abusive husband. And she was wrong, just like these victims were wronged by being lied to him. And she's thinking like she's doing this big hero piece. And it's like, hein, read the comments, girl.
It almost sounds like she's trying to follow Rihanna's path. Because when everything went down with Rihanna and Chris Brown, you know, Rihanna came back with that album. Was it Rated R? I think it was Rated R, where her first song was like, well, she had that song that was like Russian Roulette or something like that. Yeah. And they're like, it was like an angry album. Like, you can try it. She had that song Hard. And it was just like, it was kind of like, you can try to, it was a triumphantly, like, you tried to take me down, but I'm triumphing kind of vibe. And it worked for Rihanna, but Rihanna also like, sort of went away for a moment. It's obviously also a very, very different story, But
half talent.
Ben, I'm about to pass out. Did you literally just compare Erika Jane to Rihanna?
No, I'm saying that Erika Jane is probably trying to compare herself to I think she was trying to sort of follow that kind of same thing. Like, yeah, I'm the fucking survivor. But the problem is that, like, we were all on Rihanna's side, and I don't think people are really on Erica's side. And she seems to be misjudging that. She needs to have like a moment of like chill. And I think she's just misjudging. I think maybe like Mikey Minden is giving her PR advice.
Mikey Minden wrote all of those horrible talking headlines throughout all of her seasons. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, they don't land anymore. And you realize, it really was all this facade, but not in this great performance art way. It was just like, everybody's like, oh, she created the Erika Jane character. No, it was created for her. And it was kind of cool. But like, let's stop being gaslit. She's not Lady Gaga. It's not like we're waiting for her Joanne album, or like, could you imagine she does an acoustic album after this? Like, I want to tell my story, but you can't be a survivor when there's actual survivors of this bullshit, you know?
Yeah, but that's what cracks me up about the fandom too, because from the very beginning it's like, oh, okay, so your husband's rich, so he's just buying you this career, right? And her whole thing is like, well, he didn't buy me shit, I did everything myself, I'm a number one artist on iTunes or whatever. And then, you know, now we're seeing all the paperwork, or a lot of it, and of course she wasn't getting paid for anything. He was paying for these clubs to book her, they were flying everybody around, paying for all this, but we knew that it's all on screen. But we really do believe, I think, as a fandom, speaking for the fandom as a whole, I think everybody does just swallow all the horse shit they give us, because people are shocked. They're like, yeah, what? But they said that Erika Jane was a huge star in dance clubs. It's like, oh my God.
Well, it came out that she was paying the dance clubs to perform at the dance clubs.
Of course. Like, exactly. And who do you think's buying all these singles on iTunes?
Tom Girardi. Tom Girardi owns a million copies of Expensive.
Yes, and they're like, but they were played in the clubs. Who do you think is paying those DJs to play the songs in the clubs? Come on!
It always bothered me that when Erika sort of arrived, how immediately popular she was for doing nothing. Like, I felt like she was given some gay dog whistles, and she would just sort of say some sassy things.
Came running, that's for sure. We hear it.
Yeah, everyone was like, she's fabulous. I love Erika Jane. She's fab. And I was always like, but why? She's like, doesn't really contribute to the show. She's just sort of
there. She's just there. Yeah.
You know, she's like dressed. She has this cool dress. Like, she has costumes. And I actually feel like it was part of the Erika Jane costuming that actually caused Beverly Hills to suffer for like 4 or 5 years until this season, because it really became about like, I'm going to have a costume too, and I'm going to be fabulous, and here's my glam team. And it just became like so much of that. But I didn't understand why she was just sort of instantly accepted. And now it's kind of funny, because now people are like instantly hate her now. So,
and you saw the paparazzi shots today of her at the TJ Maxx.
Did not see those.
They got her inside. Well, you know, they're inside a TJ Maxx shopping, you know, so like she's a frugal queen all of a sudden.
And they're saying, oh my God, Erika, this is a bad look for you or whatever. And she went on Twitter and she's like, oh my God, I went there before and I'll go there after. Stop living my fucking life or something like that.
And I love
they show her putting something in the car, and it's like a dog ramp for her dog. I was like, can the woman go to TJ Maxx? Yeah. You know, well, like, I mean, you guys were all the ones cheering her on in the first place. And listen, I'm sitting here ripping Erika every chance I get. But I've been ripping Erika for 5 years. I've earned my ripping opportunity. Some of these people, I'm like, this is just, it does get a little too much, where it's like, now we hate her for going to the fucking Target.
Every season,
I mean, of the calendar season, like, there is a new lady on Bravo that the audience just shreds. Like, we just finished, you know, Q2, or like the first half of this year was like Q2. Was like Hannah Burner. Like, yes. You could, like, we would say something like, oh, today, you know what? Hey, Ronnie, I really like my new blender. Well, I'll tell you, it needs to be shoved into a blender. Hannah Burner. I was like, everything. You just like wake up with like an assault of like, fuck Hannah Burner, like every single thing. And now it's like, okay. And now Summer House is over, and we are going to just move that energy into Erika Jane right now.
I'm going to move the energy into Austin Kroll's turtleneck from Winter House.
Can't wait.
You guys see? I mean, I mean, how excited I really am really excited for Winterhouse, because I'm a huge fan. I was a huge fan of Summerhouse, and I think you guys are too. But yeah. I saw those paparazzi, the press photos, and I was like, wow, look at all this Gap and like Jax Taylor chunky sweaters happening. Yeah.
But it's like a Land's End catalog.
Yeah.
It was like Life's End catalog.
But doesn't Austin remind you of that 80s movie villain? That like dates like the cheerleader and then bullies and like the nerd. Yeah, yes. Like I don't know why I don't like Austin, but I feel like Austin's gonna be my Hannah. Because
he's
don't,
just everything.
But I think, why do girls like him wrong. That much? It makes he's no obnoxious. Sense to
he's
me.
He's condescending. He doesn't do anything, and yet he gets ahead in life. Yeah.
Yes.
Hey,
exactly.
Listen, we rail against the patriarchy, but some of us want to marry it as well. Okay. Because the patriarchy has a lot of money and will get me a nice house. Okay. So I will rail against the patriarchy, but I will also date it. And I think that's some of what we're seeing with him, you know, because he's everything the world is kind of railing against, right? It's like some rich white kid handed literally everything, doesn't do shit. You know, treats women like crap, and then people are still like, love you.
Fails
love
upwards.
Yeah. Doesn't like, even have a trust
Trop
fund,
tastes
right?
like piss. Trop Hop is piss. Like, Trop Hop is literal piss. And Austin is one of those guys that gets into like DMs of like my friend like just made a comment about his turtleneck, and he doesn't even follow her. And he got in her DMs and said, what's up with this? And I'm like, why would you even bother? Like, that's so bizarre to me.
Yeah, well, you
that's
know
what he does.
You know what? Here's the thing. Daddy issues are strong and they are potent, and they, you know, so like, and so it doesn't matter if you are Austin Kroll or a piece of mud. If you got daddy issues, you're going to be drawn to someone like Austin Kroll, because he's sort of condescending and he has a short fuse. And I think that like, he must trigger some strange things. It's like why women are drawn to Jax admittedly in his prime was really hot. But, you know, like a lot of times we watch these shows, like, what are these girls seeing in these guys? It's like, you have to always remember daddy issues.
Well,
daddy issues.
I think it's because he's not as hot as he's acting, right? Like, he acts like he's a lot hotter. And I think that's something that makes people think he's more attainable or something. And so they think, oh my God, he's going to be nice because he's not the hottest guy in the group, right? Like, if you see this guy hanging out with Craig at a bar, you're like, Craig is the one who's going to get everything, so I'm gonna go for Austin. Yeah. And Austin will be nice to me.
And supposedly, he's
surprisingly hot in person.
Who is
Austin might be surprisingly hot in person. That happens sometimes.
Every girl says, oh, he's 6'3, he's 6'3 or 6'4. And like, like that's an excuse, that's like that's like a good personality. I'm like, just because you have a couple inches, like that's so, you know. And it just really bothers me for some reason. But we obviously, we supposedly have a love triangle between Lindsay and Sierra and Austin. And I'm like, that's insane.
Lindsay with Austin?
Yeah. Yes. Lindsay says that she's in love with him in the trailer.
Oh, God.
But I mean, Lindsay's in love with like everything.
Everybody. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. She's in love with like koozies on beer cans. Like, she's literally anything.
Well, what do you guys think? Like, because 10 years ago, we didn't have like, I mean, TLC has been so good about having the 90-day universe, but now I feel like finally Bravo is leaning in and we are having the Bravo universe where they are doing some like really, they're trying some things out, like the All-Star or the Girls Trip or whatever they're calling it, and the Winter House Southern Lucky Charm. Like all of these first things of all, are happening. I love it.
You have to credit that to MTV, not to TLC. That was MTV. That's our with
Road Rules
Road Challenge Road. And Road Rules. I refuse to give that to 90 Day Fiance. But yeah, it is interesting that Bravo is going into that space with Winterhouse. I don't know if it's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. It sort of scares me a little bit.
I think one of Bravo's problems is that they just don't, they get one good thing and they just knock it into the ground every second that they get. And I think that's what they're kind of doing with this. I mean, I'm really excited for Winterhouse, but I'm really glad it's also four to six episodes, something like that. Wow. So I'm
if it's
glad
four
it's like
episodes.
Short,
I'm gonna riot. I want six.
I think
it might be six, but it's
I'm
short.
Saying 13.
So no, it's short.
I'm gonna go 30. I'll say 30. Yeah.
Like, I'm into it for that. But you know, you look at the Below Deck shows, those shows are good, but every day I need Below Deck. Every day you've got Below Deck, Below Deck Mediterranean, Below Deck
sailing yacht.
Then they've got two more that I read were coming out. There's like some
they're going to Peacock specifically. Yeah,
oh my God, it's just like, how much do you
got? I
and it was an accident
smart.
You know, it's like an accident that they find one thing and then they just run it into the ground. And I think they might be doing that with Summer House and Winter House and Southern Charm.
So but I actually we'll don't see. Think that they might do that with Winter House. But I actually don't think that they're running into the ground. I think that what Bravo's biggest innovation was the idea that we can air a franchise year round, but we're going to do it in a way that, that where we basically refresh it after every 3 months, because previously, what would happen was, speaking of MTV, MTV was really good for if they landed on something big, they would truly drive it into the ground. Like they, what Jersey Shore first season was huge. And then they did like a Miami season and then another season after. They'd sort of like spam us with seasons. So then by season four, we're kind of like, because season four is only like 18 months after the original one. Whereas Bravo was like, we're going to spam you with the Real Housewives, but the cast is essentially changing every 4 months. So it never really feels like, oh, like, we're getting killed with Real Housewives. It's always something new. And that sort of like hits the reset button. And I think Winter House may, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there, because it's like most of the same cast as Summer House. So they actually could drive that one into the ground, and we'll just have to see how that goes.
But I mean, I'm just happy just because it feels to me like it's okay. I'm backing a viable network, you know, like I'm backing something that has lifeblood in it, you know, like where sometimes I get like, we're so passionate about these shows, but I'm like, are we bringing anybody new in? Like, are we bringing, like, if we're 13 seasons into New York or something, is anybody new coming to New York at this point to watch? Or are we completely like,
you know, we're all arguing. One of the most surprising things to me about touring around is seeing the audience for shows. There are so many young people. I'm like, well, that's, what the hell are you doing? What do you want? Because I think I'm old, you know, and so this stuff, if I've been watching this 10 years, I figure everyone's just older, and a lot of people are older, but there's also like a lot of younger people who are into these shows, and they don't look at it as like, we know all the history. They'll be like, oh, I watched a season of Beverly Hills, and then I watched a season of Atlanta or whatever, you know, but they've just been so prevalent in their lives growing up that they still will watch them and get really into them.
It's and weird. Also, I think that not as many people watch all the franchises the way we do. Yeah. I think there are a lot of people who just watch one or two. And so when you say, is there room to take on new people? Actually, there is, because I was just talking to someone last night who said that he had been a East Coast Real Housewife loyalist, mainly in New Jersey, Northeast Coast, mainly New Jersey and New York, and that he actually got turned off by New York this season. So he decided to start watching Beverly Hills for the first time. So I thought that was kind of shocking, because Beverly Hills is one of the marquee franchises for Bravo, and yet after all these years he hadn't ever dabbled in it, but then he decided to start watching it. So I do think that sometimes people they can only take on so many shows. Yeah. They have like their two housewife shows that they watch, so it is possible to grow these numbers as people break into new ones.
As we start wrapping up here, our last 10 minutes, I wanted to get some quick thoughts. You just mentioned New York. Coming off this season, there was so much discourse about this season. What were your thoughts really quickly? I mean, like it's to me, like Beverly Hills was always the Michael Bay franchise, and New York was like independent theater. And this season, I just like I said, I'm never going to not watch New York, but it just didn't hit. And I don't blame anybody. Like, I don't need to blame anybody. Like, it's like some things just don't work. Did it work for you guys?
Well, you know, no, I mean, it didn't hit, but I think a lot of these shows is whenever they change the cast drastically, that happens. There were less women, you know, then you have Leah, who's not really going to help anything ever. And then you've got, you know, Ebony is so new to the group, and you're making, you know, you're putting Ramona in the situation where any of us have to listen to Ramona's fucking ideas on race or whatever. A lot of it went wrong, but it's still Real Housewives of New York. I mean, even the worst episodes we cracked up over, but yeah. I don't know how affected my judgment is, because we just like, if I leave a recap laughing, I'm like, that was a great show. But the actual show made me laugh. I mean, I laughed almost every single time I sat down to take notes on that show. I was cracking up. They're so crazy that, you know, that's what I watch it for. If I laugh or cry, then it wins for me.
Same for me. I agree. It wasn't the best season by any stretch of the imagination, but it was still a really good season. There were still some really good things. I think that maybe there was a little bit of an overemphasis on the young ones, aka Ebony and Leah, and we're really there for the older ones. And people would say, oh, the older ones are just doing their thing. But I don't think there was COVID, and this was just a franchise that really didn't really know what to do with itself during that time. But I'm a little disappointed that so many people, after every year, everyone talks about, oh, it's the best, it's the best, it's the best. And then one season that's like not quite as good.
Cancel it. Everyone's like, cancel it.
I'm like, that's why do you want to kill your bees?
No, it is.
Like, that's not the answer.
That's nobody, not the answer.
Like, there's no subtlety in anybody's discourse on Housewives. That literally the first answer is cancel it. Throw it away. Throw it away.
Yeah. We'll they're move all, on. Like, do you remember how you loved this show like 9 months ago? Do you remember how like, but like 13 weeks before, but 13 weeks ago that before the show had aired, everyone was like, putting every gif up about like, yes, the queens are here, la da, 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 da. And now they're like, cancel it. I just feel like that's actually not the appropriate way. Cause that's also how we get, that's how you send bad feedback to a network and they give us content that we don't like, right? Yeah. Like just say, didn't love this season. It wasn't good. They need to fix X, Y, and Z. But like, you know, I'm also an apologist and if there's something I love, I will still defend it way longer after its expiration date. But I don't think that New York has expired by any stretch of the
imagination. Well, a lot of the reason that people were saying cancel it wasn't just because the show wasn't doing great. It's because the race stuff and the Ramona of it all, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of that came down to Ramona. It's like, how much of that behavior is still funny because she's so just Looney Tunes, and there are still so many people like Ramona. Read the comments of literally any news article and you see that they're still there. So it's like, do we just pretend that those people aren't there anymore and cancel it, or do we laugh at that because it's Ramona and we're used to it? I don't know. There were a lot of conflicting feelings.
But I think it's good. I like Bravo in the sense that, you know, they are putting some uncomfortable moments out there that I'm happy with, like kind of soul searching and like, am I really thinking deep thoughts about Ramona and stuff? But like, I'm good. I'm okay with that. I'm kind of happy that we watch a network that is actually even attempting to put some things on screen, and it's going to be bumpy for a couple of years or seasons. I want more of that Lamb Curry and Garth.
Amazing. Truly. I want more Bershon also. I think Bershon was a really good addition because she is like a classic narcissist in the Roni tradition and sort of lacking self-awareness. And that's what this show is all about. And I think that actually Ebony, her fatal flaw is that she's a little like too media trained from her years in broadcasting. And it felt like sometimes it felt like she would like laugh. She was like, ha! And it felt a little deliberate. It was hard sometimes with Ebony on that front, but Ebony was also put in a really, really difficult position because I felt like she was sort of foisted into this role where she had to be the educator. And as much as there's this conversation about like, she shouldn't have to be the educator, she kind of still was put in that position, which was not fair to her. I mean, it's actually a very fascinating thing to look back on and on that season and why it truly went wrong.
Because Ramona would like go off like a whirling dervish and like just say some horrible things. And then at the end of the episode, you'd always have Ebony going, I am still interested in being friends with Ramona Singer. And you'd be like, I'm not. Like, if somebody was doing that, like, it just didn't strike, you know, you're like, you're having to do this because of a show, not because of any kind of reality. Because if somebody was like that, I would not personally be interested in continuing a relationship, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Ramona is truly a nightmare.
We got 3 more weeks until Vanderpump Rules season 9 premieres. This feels like the show that has long been forgotten. And because of the amount of time that they have taken, are you guys excited at all? Do we have so many shows that like, I feel like we have so many great shows right now. I'm really nervous about this. Do you guys going into a season, do you guys have any thoughts or anything like that about Vanderpump?
I'm so scarred. Honestly, like Vanderpump Rules is one of Bravo's best shows. I think, I mean, it has the best history. We love that show. And I could tell the year before last it was going down. I mean, I remember saying it at one of the shows, like, this is it. Like, enjoy this. This is going down after this. And it did. It had a really rough year for sure. And it's one of those that they're so committed to that it just never ends. Like, the season goes on forever. It's like 20 something episodes. And probably if it's not a good season, it's like, just kill it. So it was rough. And this year I'm scarred. So I'm not really sure. It looks like a bunch of costumes and like wooing. Mm. It looks very kind of summer.
Like, you're going to see a lot of those editing things where they're going to make like little bits within the edit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That's my greatest fear, is that it's going to be a lot of that. You know, I am afraid that we don't have any good villains. But you know, this is what I'm holding out for, because I think that Vanderpump Rules is kind of caught now between it's in this weird space that it's like older, like that the cast is sort of older than Summer House. Actually, it's not older, but it feels older. It's an older show. It's not a Real Housewife. Summer House kind of came, I think, took the mantle of the youth programming on Bravo. But my hope for Vanderpump Rules is that it has some sort of Southern Charm renaissance, because Southern Charm this past season, I think we all were expecting that this was going to be the season where it was like Southern Charm was kind of like going to be done, because the previous season was fine. It was that first season without Thomas and it was fine, but it felt a little rudderless. And then this season was kind of like the true birth. It's basically the Madison and Austin, that whole shit. Like, it got its new voice, which was like, that was the future. Right. And it culminated in this crazy reunion that somehow brought A-Rod into it. And I feel like Southern Charm has this like new jolt of energy that's going to propel it forward. And I just have to hope that something like that will happen with Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. You just hope they're thinking about it as much as we are, like production. Like, do they really take time to like think about how they're going to approach this? And especially with Jax and Stassi and Kristen leaving, or did they just go, let's throw a bunch of shit against the wall and see what we got, you know?
Yeah. But the thing is, there's not a lot of new blood that we've seen, at least not in the trailer.
Just right? Sheena's.
Well, that's the
boyfriend.
Thing.
Literal.
You know,
blood.
And I think this was the problem with New York too. They have to have faith that they can recast these shows. I mean, yes, we do love the cast. Vanderpump Rules was great. The cast was great, but the cast is over. It's not the same. They're not kids. They're not slutty people.
You're not supposed
LA
to be friends with people that you worked at a bar 10 years ago. You're not supposed to still be friends with those
but
people.
But even if they need that, they've still got that. Every restaurant has that core group of people that like thinks they're badasses and the cool cheerleaders. But you're going to have to trust that there's going to be people there. It's like New York. You don't think that there's crazy ladies, crazy groups of friends all over New York. Like they're too afraid to recast these shows. Now look, if they did recast them, I'd be like, fuck them. They recast I'm never watching this again. So can you win with me? No, but I think that with Vanderpump Rules, I don't want to see fucking Lala and her and Rand. I don't want to. Don't make me do it.
I want to see Sheena be a mother, but I don't really know if I want to see Law. I don't know.
Agreed.
Like, just because Sheena is like, that's her life's purpose. And you know, just watching her try to bounce back from having that baby to filming the next week. Like, to me, that's fascinating. That kind of like hunger to be like, this is my moment. Stassi and Kristen are gone and I have a baby. Like, to me, that's what I think is going to be the driving force, hopefully.
I think the problem with Vanderpump Rules is that they failed at a certain point. They sort of stopped trying to bring in new talent. I think after they found Lala, they kind of stopped bringing in new faces. And although maybe James was after Lala, I thought he was like around Lala.
Yeah, he was around.
But you know, remember season 6 was, everyone was saying it was like the best.
Oh, when Jax
season,
cheated.
Jax cheated. Yeah. It was so amazing. And then it was like New York. The next season was bad. And everyone said to cancel it. And the problem is that season 6 is when they all decide they wanted to grow up and become adults. And Bravo was kind of like left there with like their pants down around their ankles, because they didn't really have a new immature generation to take over the show. And so then they tried to spam us with all these awful people last season. And that was a massive failure. So I don't know how they fix it, but I just have to have faith that.
Yeah, all I have to do is watch it. So I'm fine, I guess. I just hope that we're watching something that is like at least, I mean, I don't care about visually stimulating. I want like characters and stuff like that. Is that me?
I think, where is that? Ronnie?
No, I'm not playing music.
I'm not playing it.
You know, weird.
Our podcast is music is playing.
Hey, I just heard it. Okay, that's the time. And finally, Potomac and Salt Lake, I feel like are both like just fully chugging along. Great. So great. You guys. Yeah. And I think Mia is like the perfect addition to Patrol, like casting. Not even a bump in the road. Like, I feel like those are firing on all cylinders. And I want to show you guys one thing before you leave. Just one sec.
This is exciting.
This is underwear. We almost got tubined.
Oh, that's too bad. I want to get tubined someday.
You do? No, you don't.
No, I don't.
No.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah. Wait. Ryan.
The picture.
Yeah. This is the Girardi painting of him and his brothers.
Yeah.
Did you ever get the Erica childhood photos to her, by the way?
No, she has not responded. So we're giving them to like some hairstylist that does her hair or something. But like it was like a grab bag box. Like, you could bid like $70 on like a box of just like, so I have like 30 law trophies of like Tom Girardi. If you guys want one, I can send you each one.
Yes, but, I want a Tom Girardi law trophy. No, hell yes. Totally.
But her baby pictures were like her childhood pictures were
That's
in there.
So sad.
It was really sad. And like, I'll make fun of Erica Jane till the cows come home. But I just like, there was no part of me that wants that, you know, like,
yeah.
Like that oil painting with Tom Girardi, we're putting in like Batman and other pop culture figures. Like we're going to change up the oil painting and make it like other Bravo people and pop culture figures.
But you're not going to disfigure the painting, will you?
Oh yeah.
You can't, yeah, I mean, you can't, you cannot adjust. You are sitting on an artifact. You can't like paint on the artifact.
What are you like Indiana Jones? Like
I say, paint the artifact. Yeah. Shit, if I could go into the museum, I'd put wigs on dinosaurs. Okay, everything needs some improvement.
Well, you guys, thank you for spending this hour with us. You really are heroes of mine, but you really are just the nicest people ever. And thank you for allowing me to be part of this Bravo gang with you guys in terms of podcasting. You've been so always awesome to me. And one of my high moments of doing any of this was being able to be at the Crappies this year as one of the presenters. It really meant the world to me. But you guys, I don't need to watch what crappens. You'll know the tour dates pretty soon, hopefully. Monday night, Spotify Green Room, go download that. And is there anything else coming up that we need to know about?
I'm going to go to Starbucks today, I think. Yeah.
Ben's going to go to Starbucks. So if you have pumpkin spice lattes.
Yeah.
Good luck, buddy.
But
you've got
thank
a
you
lot
guys.
Of work coming up. Brian, thanks, Ryan. I mean, Ryan, thank you so much for everything. Thanks for being a good friend.
Thank you for making memes.
And Ben, can I come over for food sometime?
Oh, yeah, sure.
How long does it take like to little... make tartar like they did
tartar
last night
sauce?
For PK? Yeah.
a couple seconds. It's mayonnaise and dill pickles.
Cornichons. Right? I'm going to need some mayonnaise for this.
I'll make you all the tartar sauce you could ever want.
Oh God. Okay. We'll talk to you hopefully very soon.
Okay.
Thanks, Ryan.
5-4
Betches.